Father, we come this morning. We know that your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that you will take your word today to work in our hearts and in our lives to bring about the fruit that you want to bring forth. And that we, in turn, we are, in a sense, a planting. And now we are blossoming and we are growing and hopefully bearing fruit for you. And we pray that now, in turn, we may be able to sow seeds which will also bring forth life unto life eternal. And that it would have an impact all around us, for it is for this purpose that you have placed us here. Let us understand the laws of sowing and reaping, how they apply in the natural realm, and how they apply in the spiritual realm. And we pray that all the glory would be to you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I know it's Mother's Day, so I'll try to be sensitive on the time issue. Here we are in May. There's an old saying that maybe some of you can complete for me. April showers bring May flowers. And if you drive by any Lowe's or Taylor do-it-yourself centers or Home Depot's or even Food Lion these days, you're probably going to see a whole lot of plants and baskets and everything, because this is planting season. Whether it's grass, whether it's flowers, or whether it's a garden, there's probably somebody out there planting seeds. So that's why we call today's message Gardening Season. And I happen to know that a lot of our old-timers here in South Norfolk kept a big garden every single year. And I've told a lot of those stories at a lot of funeral services, but it was just a part of life. But I think there's really more of that going on than we even realize even now. And there are community gardens now. There are lots down there, and people go down there and they rent a little space and they put in a garden. So there's still a lot of this kind of thing going on. How many here have ever had a garden sometime? That you had a garden where you live? And you know, some people, when we lived where we had a parsonage and a big backyard, we probably had a garden as big as this whole center section of pews here. And we would have all kinds of things in it during the summer. And then in the fall, we would plant it solid in collards. Do I need to tell you we had collards? And after that first frost, it was always a wonderful thing. Then from there, we move into a townhouse where we had a whole backyard that was probably not much bigger than this area of this platform up here. And we still did about three or four rows. We had a few peppers and then what else? Anyway, we had a few things there that we liked. Tomatoes were always at the top of the list and so forth. So, you know, gardening can be fun, but it's quite an enterprise. And it's all based on laws that God put into effect long ago when he first did the creation thing. Believe me, folks, this didn't happen on its own. God did this, God ordained it, God planned it, and those laws that he put into effect way back then, here we are all these thousands of years later, and those laws work exactly like they did when God put them into effect. He said, let the earth sprout forth vegetation, in what we read earlier, and plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. If you plant a tomato seed, what do you get? If you plant a gardenia, what do you get? You get, and that's that law, you will reap what you sow. And, of course, that verse is always, we think of it, I think, in terms of, well, you better make sure you sow the right seeds. Well, that is true. But there are so many aspects to this law of sowing and reaping. The first one is, if you want to reap, you do have to sow. And then you probably have to do a few things in between there, too. But the Lord does, you know, He provides the soil. He provides the sunshine. How many have heard of photosynthesis? That might be the only word I remember from my fourth or fifth grade science book. It's something that happens to plants, you know, that makes them grow when they hit, when light hits them. And it makes them grow, and they turn green and all that good stuff. None of that is by accident. Now, if you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and take the notes and have a little something to carry home, now would be the time to get that. We're going to start with just three of the bigger laws, and then we're going to get a little more specific. General observations, and I'm sure I've shared these from the pulpit many, many times. God established the laws of sowing and reaping very early in the creation process. He established this on day three. He established this three whole days before He put man here. This was one of the very earliest laws that God put into place, very early in the creation process, and those laws have never been altered. They are still in force today. Number two, all agriculture is based on the law of sowing and reaping. When you go to the supermarket and you buy some of those pretty big red strawberries, they are there because somebody has practiced the law of sowing and reaping. When you go down to the Lowe's and you do buy that planter thing full of some pretty flowers, somebody has been practicing the law of sowing and reaping. When you buy an apple or you buy an orange down at the supermarket, somebody has been practicing the law of sowing and reaping. There is not one vegetable, there is not one fruit, there is not one thing of that kind that you buy, that you purchase, that somebody has not been practicing the law of sowing and reaping. And that is why you have that, so that you can then purchase it and take it home, you know. And we miss a lot of it now because so much of it, you know, I think some of our kids maybe think that stuff, I don't know if they know for sure where it comes from. But somebody's doing some sowing and reaping, or we wouldn't have it. And number three, the law of sowing and reaping applies in both the natural and the spiritual realm. And we've talked many times about that, that all truth is parallel, and the laws that govern the physical universe almost always have a counterpart in the spiritual realm. And so we are able to understand spiritual truth by understanding what is around us. And so nothing, in no area more than in the area of agriculture and sowing and reaping. That little seed, that little old homely seed that doesn't look like much when you plant it, isn't it a marvelous thing how you just plant that one little insignificant looking, not doesn't even have any eye appeal, little seed, and then from that sprouts the most wonderful and beautiful things. And that's because God has already put the principle of life in that seed. All right. How many have started a garden this year? Started a garden? All right. Same rules, remember, that apply in the natural realm, apply in the spiritual realm. Keep that in mind. Listen, I'm no big gardener. I'm no expert. I've grown a few gardens, but I'm not the one who has the green thumb or anything like that, okay? But I'm just basing this on the general principles as we find them in God's Word. Do you want to have a successful garden? There may be some other things you've got to do, but I'm pretty sure you've got to do these things. Number one, have a plan. That's right. Even if you just say to yourself, well, I've got a small yard and I don't have a whole lot of time because they're making me work overtime down at the office or the shop, so I'll just do three rows, and maybe I'll just do a few tomatoes and a few lima beans and a few peppers. That is a plan. In other words, it doesn't just happen. You at least have Or it may be an enormous garden, like my brother Raymond and my sister-in-law Sally have down on the Florida-Alabama line. And they probably have a quarter of an acre garden, and it's got everything imaginable in it, because that's the kind of thing. But whether it's just a couple rows or something like that, you start with a plan. In other words, it's intentional. You don't say, well, you know, you have a plan. You know more or less what you're going to plant, and you know more or less where, and you know pretty much how big you're going to make your garden, in keeping with, we'll just call them current realities. Okay, number two, select a plot. You got to have a plot. You got to have a piece of ground. It may be in that little tiny yard behind your townhouse. It may be one of those squares down there at the community place that you rent. It may be some borrowed land from somebody. And it may be big or it may be little, but you've got to select a plot. You've got to have a place where you're going to grow your seed. Just basic stuff. Number three, prepare the soil. How many here have ever worked a rototiller? I tell you what, my brother-in-law Jim, a couple years ago, he was getting where he couldn't do that stuff anymore. So I went over there one day, and you all know I'm pretty healthy overall, but I'm not in shape. Not that way. Not that way. He had a little old rototiller there. It wasn't even that big. And I did the rototillering with it in one section and then in another section. And I don't think I've had that many bones in my body hurt for that long in the last 15 years. And that was just a couple hours. But you've got to prepare the soil. In the old days, they used the old plow. I don't know if you've seen pictures of that. The old mule and the old plow. How would you like to walk behind a plow all day? Why did these people do that? That sounds like cruel and unusual punishment. Because they knew they had to prepare the soil. You don't just go out there and just start scattering seed. What happens to the seed that lands on the hard ground, like along the pathway? The little birdies come and eat it. That's what Jesus said. The soil has to be prepared. It's no fun. It's hard work. I have a feeling that preparing the soil is harder work than sowing the seed. Remember, all truth is parallel. That applies in the natural and it applies in the spiritual. Now think about this as you think about it. Select a plot. Have a plan. Select a plot and then prepare the soil. How many of you, in your sowing the word, have selected a plot yet? We don't just go sowing seeds at random. Well, I'm walking down this street, so I'll scatter a few here by the sidewalk. We have a plot. Years ago, Daryl and Kyla Palmer selected a plot. It's called Taliabu. Years ago, the Newbranders selected a plot. It was called Berlin. Now they've selected another plot. It's called University of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, working with international students. They have selected a plot. Have you selected a plot? And then comes the preparation of the soil. Is God able to use you to prepare some soil? As you engage people, as you get involved in somebody's life, as you begin to, you know, the Lord begins to open doors to you in that person's life, to babysit for them, or to clean their house, or to take them some food, or to do whatever it is. And that is more work than maybe the day that the Lord finally gives you the opportunity to sow some seed, but the soil has to be prepared. Now, I understand that God prepares soil. Sometimes we stumble on a little plot and it's already been prepared by somebody else. We get to share the gospel, they get saved, and we're all happy and we think we've done something. And somebody else has prepared that soil, because preparing the soil is harder work. And that's a step we like to skip. I'll just be honest about it. But the Lord will begin to use you to prepare that soil. Some soil will never be fit, but that's not your problem, and that's not for you to decide. But we have to select a plot, and then we have to prepare the soil. A Sunday school class, that's a plot. A home Bible study, that's a plot. Select a plot. A Bible study down at work, that's a plot. Select a plot, and then work the plot. Everybody has a plot. They know where they're supposed to be working. And if we don't select a plot, our sowing of the seed is going to be very random. That's not to say that, you know, we'll never have opportunity, but we need to be intentional, at least as intentional about that as we are about that little garden in our backyard. And then, after we prepare the soil, our job's done, right? No, now it's time to actually plant the seed. That's probably the funnest part of all. Put that seed in the ground at the right depth, cover it over with a little dirt, and then wait and pray, you know? And then our job's done, right? Oh, no! Step five, water and tend. Tend can include fertilizing. Tend can include debugging. Anybody ever had to debug? They told my daddy in Alabama, they said, you can't grow beans down here. The worms always get them first. He planted beans. Every afternoon, he walked through all the rows with a little can of kerosene and flipped the worms into the kerosene. And at the end of the season, he had a crop of beans. It might include, what else? Weeding, perhaps? Maybe reworking the soil a little bit. Water and tend. Monitor progress. We all do that. You don't just say, well, garden's fine. I planted the seed there a couple months ago. The garden's fine. I'm going down to Sand Bridge for the afternoon. Which is a reminder, once we select a plot, once we start working, listen, that job isn't done until the tomato has been picked, washed, peeled, and eaten. So once we take on that commitment, that is a commitment. And again, we need to at least be as intentional about it in the spiritual realm as we are in the natural realm. Number six, monitor progress. Number seven, reap. That's when we get to go out there and pick that big red tomato. That's when we get to go out and pick the beans or whatever else it is. And then ultimately, enjoy. And we'll have all of eternity to enjoy the fruit of the labor and that God has allowed us to bestow. Where to sow? Here are some places where you can sow. Number one, into your own life. They used to tell us you can't sell from empty shelves. I can't give what I don't have. So through my reading of the Word daily and spending time with the Lord and indeed associating with other believers, and in these ways, others are now sowing into my life. We all have to have that. And that's a good place to begin. Number two, into the lives of other believers. That's why the Lord wants us involved in a church. People talk about attending church. There's a lot more than attending church. There's being part of a church. How many know there's a difference between attending church and being a part of a church? There's a big, big difference. We get involved in each other's lives. We love each other. We pray for each other. We support each other. We know what's going on with each other. Not everybody with everybody, but enough of us that everybody gets encouraged and everybody gets ministered to. Number three, into the lives who do not know the Lord. Yes, we will be sowing there as well after the soil has been prepared. Number four, into the lives of your family and loved ones. There's a good plot, and that one's not very far from home in many cases. We may be working a garden down the street and neglecting the one in the backyard. Number five, into the lives of the upcoming generation. How many know that if the gospel isn't shared with a child by the time they're 10 or 12, the odds of them ever becoming a believer is very, very small? Did you know that? I'm not going to argue percentages, but we all know that the odds of that are very, very small. So that's why it's so important that these children, while they're in that nursery stage and the beginner stage and the primary stage, that the seed of the word, and yes, the ministry we do to children and with children is important. Number six, into the lives of friends and acquaintances. They may be at work, or they may be in the neighborhood, or they may just be somebody you know from when you were in high school. These are all possible plots to be worked. And number seven, ultimately in the workplace and in the community. I just had a thought strike me the other day. I'm not saying this is what we're going to do or anything. I just had a thought strike me the other day. What if every member of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church became responsible for one square city block in South Norfolk? And you found out every person that lives in that block, who they are. Do they have children at home? Where do they work? Do they have another church family? And you tend it periodically for any who have moved or have had a change, and just periodically tended it. And every member of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church is responsible for one square city block in South Norfolk. What long-term effect do you think that would have as compared to going out with some flyers about one activity two or three times a year? I'm just asking. But I think, and even just thinking about it, you say, well, I don't live here. Well, we travel all kinds of other places. I ride out on the highways and I see these little signs, such and such club responsible for this stretch of road to keep it clean. You ever seen them? Just a thought. But may the Lord guide us into effective gardening, both as individuals and as a church body. Shall we pray? Father, you said, actually, our Lord Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, the harvest. And on more than one occasion, you said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers. But a lot of times, there's a lot of preparation to be done. And it's all around us. These plots are there. I guess the only question is, what plot will be my plot? What is the plot the Lord is assigning me? Where is the plot where the Lord would have me work? Whether that be in my own backyard or across town or at the job. Lord, help us as we consider these things to understand that this law of sowing and reaping works every single time, and that as your people, you want us all to be sowers of your seed, but you want us to sow intentionally, and so you want us to know where we're working. Speak to our hearts and bring forth from this what you would desire, and may each of us be teachable in this area. Father, we thank you for the wonderful seed. We just read it again this morning in Sunday school. You haven't been born again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And that seed is your word. Oh, Lord, may we not let your seed go to waste. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name.